Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Check that box. Meeting the requirement. Gotta have the Beastie Boys at least once on the show when I'm in the big boy chair. Intergalactic Beastie Boys on a Sunday morning. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen to worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. By the way, I have not seen, Blake, I have not seen the copy of the 810 WHB Super Bowl commemorative magazine yet, which were you can pick it up at Hen House locations and Big O Tires. I'm supposed to promote that, but I haven't seen one yet. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. Okay. I've seen the Super Bowl, like one of the Super Bowl programs.
I saw the preview one.
Yeah, I saw the preview one.
I've got that one.
I have not seen the follow-up that we were going to do, but okay. If you do see it out there, definitely snag it, because that is a collector's item.
Well, I've heard Stephen St. John talking about it on the Border Patrol a lot, because the folks who put together the magazine collected pictures from, like, Stephen took a bunch of pictures in South Beach, and listeners of WHB were tweeting in their pictures, and all the people on air here were writing stories about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. So I gotta find a copy of this. I didn't see one out on the front desk. So,
if you find one, let me know.
Who am I gonna? Who do I need to ask? Pamela? Do I need to ask her?
I would assume.
Okay. Or Chad or anybody.
Maybe Rudy. I feel like Rudy knows where most things are.
Rudy has to do a lot of remotes and usually has to take a quote swag.
Yeah.
To give away
swag stuff we all get.
So like every remote that I've done throughout the course of this season, we always had a stack of the Chiefs preseason preview magazine, whatever it was called. I need to go back and find mine to see how my predictions went. I did predict the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and I think almost everybody did, but that's okay. I got to find the Super Bowl commemorative 810 WHB magazine, though. Got to get a copy. If only I had connections. There's nobody here on the weekends, though. You and I are literally the only people in the building.
Just me. Yeah, just you and me.
And then
I'm here usually from 6 a.m. Last week I was here all by myself until you got here.
That'd be weird. That'd be weird to be in a building that long by yourself. I'd get freaked out, like, you'd be looking around, like, is somebody going to come up behind me and stab me in the back or something?
Especially when you're late at night, the cleaning ladies will come in, but I'll be sitting in the room, and so they'll open the door, and I'll whip around because they startled me.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would freak me out to be in the building by myself. These are the kind of things you talk about on the weekends. You got some free time. So, real quick, we were talking at the end of last hour about our respective golf games. Blake is quite the golfer. I am quite terrible. And that's okay. By the way, shout out to the folks at Heart of America, because they're always fantastic to us. I could pretty much wear any T-shirt I want to when I'm playing the par three. I've played the big course once, the river course. No, twice. And I just don't have a long enough drive to where it's beneficial. There's a lot of obstacles I can't not hit over. I have to lay up on a lot of obstacles over there. But it looks fantastic. And I'm really hoping to play Swope Park at some point. Because I've walked Swope Park before, but I haven't played.
Swope is fun. I like Swope.
Yeah. So we were talking about getting a hole-in-one. And I think, is your dad listening to the show?
Yeah, shout out to my father, Rush Schneiders. He's listening right now, I think, on the way to church.
Okay.
But he posed the question, what is harder to do, to hit a hole-in-one or to bowl a 300 bowling game?
Okay. I looked it up. I just did a quick Google search, so I'm not going in-depth on any article that explains par threes, par fours, whatever. But a hole-in-one in golf, your odds are 12,500 to 1. 12,500 to 1. For a professional golfer, it's 2,500 to 1. So much better odds. 2,500 to 1. Bowling If you're just a regular, you know, regular person, not a pro, it's 11,500-1 to bowl a 300 game. So it's almost as hard to bowl a 300 game as it is to get a hole-in-one.
I would have thought it was, I mean, yeah, I would say it's harder to bowl a 300 because a hole-in-one takes one shot.
Right.
A 300 game, you have to bowl
12?
Yeah, it'd be 13, 10, 11, 12. It'd be 12 straight
strikes.
It's consistency.
Right.
So I think it's a lot harder to be consistent than it is to be lucky. I mean, heck, you've even done it.
Yeah, I know, and I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I have people I used to work with at Metro Sports who were like, really? You're the guy that got the hole-in-one? You got one and we don't? But like I said, it was blind luck. It is blind luck.
I feel like I'm in the presence of a legend already.
No. I own the fact that it was blind luck. There was absolutely zero skill involved. None. If you've ever seen me play, you know that's an actual fact. I love going to, when I go to Colorado, we go every June, and there's a par 3 out there outside of Vail where we go. I think it's an Eagle. And you always think, oh, it's Colorado. Let it fly up here. That doesn't help somebody like me.
The thin air is not on your team.
No, I was gonna try to play the big course at Vail a couple of years ago. They have a really nice golf course. I mean, right at the base of the mountain, it's just gorgeous. And so I went up to the driving range, and you know, I was working out a couple hours before we were gonna play. Just, you know, can I at least get a hold of one and, you know, get it over 200 yards, please? And I was hitting the ball okay. And then I walked over to the clubhouse, and then I saw the first tee box. And these people who live out and play this course regularly were out there just bombing it. And I'm like, okay, we're not ready to play this. And so I just walked back in. And I said, go ahead and cancel our tee time. We're going over to the par 3 down the highway.
That's when you just call the closest putt-putt. Hey, we're coming. We got a par 3. Tee time for 12:30.
We got a par 3 where the average hole's about 57 yards. It's all right.
Yeah, well, see, since I'm like I said earlier, I'm only good at driving and putting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't play the par threes because it's only the worst part of my game.
Yeah.
The short stuff.
I'm pretty good at chipping the ball and then just okay at putting. Pretty good at chipping the ball. Terrible at driving. So if I can just get it around the hole, pretty decent.
We'd probably be a good little scramble crew.
There you go.
I'll tee it off. You play the middle
game. I'll
play
the short stuff.
And then we'll see what's up.
Yeah, I can do that. I really...
What are you doing next week? We'll set up a tee time right now.
You know, today might be a good day to play. Let me...
Yeah.
What's the... sorry, Gary Liazak and Jeff Penner, 41 Action News. I'm going to just crack open the weather app real quick. It's 52 right now. It's going to be like 55 today. It's a decent day. If you can get it in before the rain, because this afternoon it's supposed to pour. So you have to get it in early. I really wasn't going to plan on talking about my own golf game on the radio for 10 or 50 minutes, and Blake, but because sometimes that gets kind of boring for other people, especially if you don't play. But it's all right. So, guys at Heart of America, hope you're doing well today. Hope the course is ready and you can get some rounds in before the rain comes. So I was going through my list of things that we were talking about, and I want to go back to Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, because I feel like a lot of people who were either not into boxing or had gotten away from boxing for a few years were really into this fight last night. And a lot of people here in Kansas City were really into the fight. And believe me, I know Twitter is a small sample size of the population. I get that. But there was so much talk on it. And Stephen St. John's a great follow on a big boxing match, because he'll give you his round-by-round scores and why he thinks somebody is ahead or why somebody's behind, and it's good stuff. So I feel like this match, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder Part 2, brought in a lot of folks who had gotten away from boxing. So I'll be honest, I had. I liked boxing when I was a kid. My favorite fighter of all time is Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And he had some epic fights with Thomas the Hitman Hearns. Love those guys. And, of course, Tyson was a phenomenon when he came out, when he was, 17 or 18 when he won the heavyweight championship. And so he was just a phenomenon. And then Evander Holyfield was great. Lennox Lewis was a great champion, but he didn't have the personality. He couldn't really sell it. And, frankly, if you're not a boxing fan, his style was a little bit boring. He was clinical. He wasn't going to knock you out. He was clinical. But so I feel like we've been waiting for this heavyweight fight for a long time. Maybe since 2002. And so there were so many people talking about it last night. That's why I wanted to talk about it today, just to kind of get the feeling about it, because I'm wondering if this is, if there are a couple of more heavyweights coming down the pipeline to keep this momentum going. Because look, we all love Canelo Alvarez. I think a lot of us like Canelo Alvarez. I don't think I'm wrong saying that. Manny Pacquiao was a sensation, but he's long past his prime. Floyd Mayweather Jr. comes out of retirement once every 3 or 4 years to make $100 million. But that's kind of, he's kind of boring too. But I feel like this could open the door for more interest in boxing, especially the fact that it was on ESPN Plus as opposed to HBO. I don't know what the access numbers are for how many people subscribe to HBO versus an ESPN Plus and then paying the extra fee. But I just feel like it's like it could open the door and bring some people back into it a little bit. So I was talking about the entertainment value, right? Especially Tyson Fury. Wildly entertaining. No pun intended, Deontay Wilder. Wildly entertaining. So he's known to sing and do karaoke. There's plenty of videos. And he sings in the ring. I think he sings to his girlfriend or his wife. He sings. And he's got a terrible singing voice. It's just awful. But he loves to sing. And so last night, after he takes out Deontay Wilder, after Wilder's corner throws in the towel, the fight's over, which I thought it might have been over earlier because Deontay Wilder didn't look like he was all there. Tyson Fury decides to launch into American Pie by Don McLean. And I'll just let you listen and you be the judge. Entertainment value, quality, and just what you thought of it. So, Blake, go ahead. Okay, one, it's awful because he's just he can't sing. That's fine. But for entertainment value, off the charts. You got the whole crowd at the MGM Grand singing American Pie by Don McLean, one of the greatest songs of all time. And it's a tip to you people in bands out there, or especially young people in bands. If you're doing a gig and you're having a really slow night, and maybe the crowd that you have isn't really into what you're playing, you play American Pie and you got a party on your hands. Because it's one of the handful of songs that almost everybody knows, at least knows the chorus, if not all the words. I mean, it's a long song. I mean, it's like 7 minutes long.
He started to sing from the very beginning, uh-huh. Like the whole thing. He didn't just start with that. I couldn't play that for you
guys.
It's
too long.
It was painful.
It's probably the longest single that ever made like the Billboard charts.
It's a 7 minute song.
You know what? Now I'm gonna look it up. American Pie.
I mean, to his credit though, he did try his best.
Yes, he did. For effort.
And he planned that for sure. I mean, once they gave him the mic, his ringside interview was just pretty short, and then he just went right into the song.
Okay, American Pie. The length. They actually had to break it up into part one and part two to play it on the radio. The actual length of the song is 8 minutes and 33 seconds.
So it's right up there.
That is long.
Close to November Rain.
Oh, good call. Good call.
I think November Rain is either 9 or 11. It's the one that fakes you out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's over.
And I love.
Oh, no, it's not.
I love Guns N' Roses, but that one kind of, after he gets about the 6 minute mark, it's like, come on, please, come on. He did Axl Rose came out and did the performance with Elton John at an award show a couple of years ago. It's pretty good.
I
Like, Axl Rose is sitting at the piano playing the song, and he's playing, like, for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude could use some help. And then all of a sudden, from the back of the stage, Elton John walks out.
I wonder, did Axl sing at all, or was it just Elton
John?
No,
it was Axl Rose.
Oh, okay.
He was singing, and then Elton John came in and helped him
out.
Did
Axl still have it? We all know Elton John still has it.
I saw Guns N' Roses at Arrowhead a couple of years ago when they were making their reunion tour. I thought he still had it.
Nice.
But my standard is I just want you to go out on stage and kick ass for about 3 hours, and that's what Guns N' Roses did.
True, for sure.
Because I was really worried, because we all know, and I was intending to get into this today, but okay. I was really worried when Guns N' Roses came to Kansas City that it would be a you-know-what show. Because they have long had a reputation for 25 years of showing up late, not finishing shows. Axl Rose has been hammered and not been able to do his job. Or maybe your job is to be a drunken rock and roll star, I guess. I don't know. So I was kind of worried about what kind of a show it would be. Plus, Axl Rose and the other members of the band, they don't like each other. Everybody in the band hates Axl Rose. And they've done these little tours before where they had that substitute guy who sings kind of like Axl Rose, but not quite. And I had no intention of ever going to see that show. Like, unless they bring back the original band, I'm not going to see it. Although I don't think Steven Adler, the drummer, can play anymore because his brain is fried, like literally fried. So when they came back a couple years ago to Arrowhead, I was really interested to see what kind of show they were going to play. And it kicked ass. They were there to do two things: kick some ass, collect a check, and then number three, get out of town. They did not mess around. There was no, because when you don't like a member of the band, like nobody in the band likes Axl Rose, when there's somebody that unlikable, there's not a lot of chit-chat on stage.
Well, you do your job.
That's what they did.
Yeah. They're like, let's just do this thing good and get the heck out.
You know, because like when you have a band that gets along, you'll have spots during the show where it would be like, hey, Slash, how you doing? Axl, I'm doing all great. I think we're doing a good job. What do you think? Kansas City! They didn't do any of that crap. And they were as far away from each other on the stage as you could possibly be. There was no, you go to a rock and roll show and like the lead singer and the guitar player or the guitar player and the bass player will lean on each other back to back.
It's the classic back to back pose.
Yeah, just it's standard fare. None of that at Guns N' Roses. We just give us our check. And guess what? Not only are we going to get this done, knock it out, we're going to play every single song you want to hear. And that's what they did. There was no, we're working on an album that's coming out in March, and here's a new one. It's called John Thompson's Wild Ride. I'm just making stuff up. There was none of that either. Or sometimes you get a band that's been together for a long time, and then they broke up and did their individual solo projects. And like, you'd be like, hey, Slash, you want to play that one thing from your album 7 years ago? No, there was an Axl. I don't know if Axl Rose has put out any solo stuff, but there was none of that. They were not there to play around.
Yeah, I don't know if Axl has. I went and saw Slash when he came with Ozzy Osbourne a couple years ago. And
I can imagine that was a good show.
It was a great show. You know what? You can't understand Ozzy, but when he sings, it was great.
I can't understand a gosh darn thing that Ozzy Osbourne says. He's obviously had his brain fried a little bit. But no, it was an awesome show. I liked it, and I liked the fact that they didn't mess around. They just got out and knocked it out. So, again, a couple of things have come up during the show today that I did not intend on talking about. It just happened. When you do live radio, some things pop into your head, and you just go with it. That's okay. And I've still got a stack of stuff to get through on the show. Now, I was worried going into the show. I was like, I got a whole bunch of stuff here to talk about and things to get to, and now I may not get to half of it. It's like preparing for an interview. You got your, your 20 questions or whatever. You might use three or four of them. Because the most important thing when interviewing somebody is listen to what they're saying.
I feel you hit the nail on the head. I feel like a lot of people sometimes on ESPN, when they're it's horrible. And I
can tell when they're not listening too.
Even as a young kid, I sit there and I'm like, that is not you should have followed up with what he just said. You just had the questions and you checked the boxes off, but yes, you weren't listening to what he was saying because you had a prime opportunity to whoever it is, he, she, it doesn't matter what the sport is. It's like, listen to the athlete, listen to what they're saying, make a follow-up question. You might not even ask. You might get one off and then do a freestyle.
Right. Oh, you can totally tell when somebody who's doing the interview is not listening to what the person is saying. Like, I'll make up an example here. You're interviewing Johnny Johnson. I'm just making up that name. Interviewing Johnny Johnson. Hey, Johnny, you got the big game coming up this week. What do you think? Well, I'm ready for the game, but, you know, I was on my ranch the other day, and I got flipped off the horse, and I broke my wrist. I might not be able to go, oh, that's great. So let's take a look at let's find out what do you think of the Steelers. And it's like, did you hear what he just said? That happens all the time. It happens all the time.
It's especially bad, I think, sometimes with the sideline reporters. They just, I mean, that's usually who it is. It's they just can't follow up properly. That was one of the first things I learned in I went to school for sports broadcasting, of course. Shout out to Austin Peay State. But that was one of the first things I learned was listen to what the person you're interviewing.
100%.
100%.
And since I'm listening to what you just said, I know Austin Peay because they make the NCAA tournament once every few years. Where is Austin Peay?
It's in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh, boy, that's not helping me. Like, how far from Nashville is that?
About 35 minutes.
Oh, okay, so not
that far. Yeah, really close.
Okay.
It's right next to the Kentucky border.
Yeah.
Good times there at Austin Peay. Let's go pee.
Do they have hats that say that?
Oh, yeah. Shirts, hats. That's our slogan.
I hear it all the time when they make the tournament. All the jokes come out again, all the same old jokes.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys embrace that there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. 100%. When I was there.
Like South Carolina, they all wear those hats that say Cox.
Yes. Yes.
I can say that on the radio because it's a
team.
They're Gamecocks.
Yes. It is
Gamecocks.
Totally valid in this context.
And that's what their hats and shirts say.
Yeah, no, I was actually there the year that we played KU in the NCAA tournament. So that was kind of a cool meshing of worlds since I'm from Kansas City. So not a KU fan, but it was cool to see them play the team that I grew up, 20-30 miles from or however long.
Teenage me would have, I never did this, but teenage me would have bought, that's not a word, I just made that up.
There you go.
I would have bought a South Carolina hat. I would have bought an Austin Peay hat. I would have bought, and I remember kids doing this when I was a kid. There's a university called Findlay University.
FU.
Well, yeah. That's what they're, you can buy hats and t-shirts that have that on there. I totally would have done that as a teenager had I not been a little bit smarter. I was smart enough not to do it. Plus, my parents would have said, what are you doing?
They'd have been like, you got to throw that out.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't wear it to youth group tonight up at church, then don't wear it. Kind of a general rule on clothing. We got in trouble. God, I'm going off on tangents today. That's okay. We got in trouble one year in school. It was a year Motley Crue and Theater of Pain was really big, the album. And before that, Shout at the Devil had come out, and that was really huge. And so I went to a Catholic school. And at field day one day, a bunch of us had Motley Crue t-shirts on. And you can interpret one of their symbols as being a pentagram. And I'm just saying Catholic schools kind of frown on that.
Typically, yes.
Yes.
The song was Shout at the
Devil. And that's what we try to tell the teachers. Like, no, they're not shouting.
Shout with the devil.
They're not shouting with the devil. It's shouting at the devil.
You get out of here, you devil you.
You mean devil you. Get out of our school. Get out of our church. This is a perfect topic for Sunday, by the way. Awesome. Okay. We're going to take a quick time out, and then I promise we are getting back to sports because our next guest is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. We'll talk about, obviously, we'll talk about the Chiefs. We'll talk about what Mahomes' contract might look like, whether or not Chris Jones will get a contract or a franchise tag, and some of the pending free agents. We got a lot to cover here with Richard Baldinger, so that's coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, talking about anything and everything. Blake Schneiders is too, and he's running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
At Twin Peaks, sports and scenic views go hand in hand. Spend halftime indulging in one of their all-new Smoker Selects, featuring smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like the sweet and smoky ribs. Pair this up with a craft beer served at a frosty 29 degrees in a man-sized mug by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl for a legendary meal. And with their wall-to-wall TVs, you'll never miss a play. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome to the all-new Lee Summit Subaru. It's our New Year event. Save thousands right now on the newly redesigned 2020 Subaru Outback.
That's right, McCall. The Outback has a 2.4-liter turbocharged engine, hands-free power liftgate, and an 11.6-inch infotainment screen, and of course, symmetrical all-wheel drive.
2020 Outbacks now have up to 0% financing for 72 months on select Subarus. Fall in love with driving again at the all-new Lee Summit Subaru.
Hey, Blaine, did you know Blue Springs Ford was the only dealer with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty? Why buy anywhere else?
Yes, I did. On over 300 new Fords in stock, like Mustangs.
And F-150s?
Of course.
How about Escapes?
Yes, Escapes.
Explorers?
Yes, Dad. Explorers, Expeditions, Edge. Absolutely everything comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Even Mustangs?
Folks, if you don't come see us today,
we can't save you any money.
We looked everywhere for her engagement ring.
We looked online. We went to the mall. We just weren't seeing a lot of variety.
We spent months looking. It was exhausting.
Then we went to Shane Company. They had the largest selection, and I was able to bring my vision to life.
At Shane Company, build your dream ring in three easy steps. First, select an engagement ring style you love. We have thousands of exclusive designs in every price range. Second, pick a diamond, ruby, or sapphire for your center stone. Each stone is natural and ethically sourced by us. No other jeweler has the variety of stone shapes and sizes we have. Finally, add your own touch with a decorative head, an engraving, or a matching wedding band. Build your dream ring and still get the best value in town.
I love my ring, and I can't stop staring at it.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Dude, I'm seeing a sports medicine doctor.
Huh.
And guess who he is?
Who?
A Royals team physician. He's right there in the dugout.
Oh, no way. Awesome.
Whether you're an athlete or just active, the same experts who treat the Royals can treat you too. The University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Royals. Request an appointment at sportsmedicine.kansashealthsystem.com.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
Insane in the Membrane, which might sum up that last segment we just did. We kind of went off the rails on that, but that's all right. That's all right.
We definitely went off on a not so sportsy Sunday.
That's okay.
Hey, it's all right. We have free hour. We can do what we want.
Entertainment. That's right. It's all right. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were at the boxing match last night. Tyson Fury. Deontay Wilder. It's entertainment. Entertainment. Right now, we are joined on the line here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, by my good friend Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman. Baldy, how are you on this Sunday morning?
Good morning, Brad. How are you doing, sir? It's great. It's sunshining, and guess what? We're another day closer to a Chiefs football season, which possibly means another Super Bowl. Am I jumping to conclusions too quick?
I don't think anybody would classify that as jumping to conclusions. I think we're all thinking like six in a row, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. That's a nice round number, right?
Hey, before I get totally into the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were at the big boxing match last night, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Did you happen to take in – I know you're a New Jersey guy. I mean, that's boxing country up there. Are you a boxing fan at all?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see him and everything. I thought maybe Patrick Mahomes might be the show there. You know, the boxing match would be second fiddle to him, but he deserves it. Yeah, he's a special guy, and, you know, he could probably be. I mean, he does everything else, so who knows? Maybe he's got a heavyweight career in him as a boxer. But, you know, it's great to see those guys being able to enjoy the fruits of their labor and everything that they've done and enjoy a great boxing match.
Well, if it comes to boxing, I will run into the ring and tackle Patrick Mahomes before he laces up the gloves. That's not going to happen.
No, but he's probably a tough enough guy that can take a punch and keep on coming at you. I mean, you think you knocked him out, he'll find a way to beat you. So that's just the type of person he is, isn't it? I mean, you know, you talk about a guy that got beat for how many rounds
right
in that Super Bowl and then found a way to knock out his opponent at the end. So it's just special, those two guys, you know. they just got a relationship and what they do on the field and be able to just create magic. You know, every time they touch the pigskin, it just bodes for, you know, just looking forward in the years to come that we're going to see some great football here in Kansas City.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger, and I was a little bit disappointed, Richard, after the Super Bowl, actually leading up to the Super Bowl, and then the next day after the Super Bowl, Tom Brady kept making himself a story, posting pictures on Instagram, and you couldn't tell if he was walking out of the Patriots Stadium or walking in, and then he keeps saying things like, I don't know where I'm going to end up. And it, to me, it took a little bloom off the rose of the Chiefs Super Bowl championship, so I felt like we didn't get the full week until we got to the parade, then we got to do it one more time, and then after that, it kind of... in terms of national attention, it kind of faded away a little bit because everybody's focused on Tom Brady and Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger might be throwing a football again, and it didn't last long enough for me.
No, it doesn't, and it's like you've got to fight for everything here in Kansas City. I mean, I've had to travel to the West Coast, I've had to travel to the East Coast, and to even get congratulations from a lot of people on a tremendous victory. You know, it's just. Well, you know, I was out in San Francisco, and some people like, well, you know, you guys got lucky in a couple plays. And I'm like, well, yeah, we did, and we won the game. So,
right.
You know, I guess you guys aren't very lucky, so I'm not taking the Vegas with me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're a smaller market, you understand.
Oop, did we lose Baldy?
Baldy?
I think we lost Baldy.
We lost him.
Yeah, we'll get him back on the phone, so. We lost Baldy there. I was gonna ask him. There were so many former players, former Chiefs players, and recently retired players like Derek Johnson, who were so excited about this team to actually win it because you know they always wanted to get there. They went through their entire careers never getting to the pinnacle, and so they were generally happy for these guys. And I'm gonna ask Richard about that as soon as we get him. Locked back in. He might be. I don't know where Richard is today. Richard travels the world for his job, so he could be in California. He could be in Florida. He could be in the United Arab Emirates. You don't know. Baldy, we got you back. We get you back, Baldy. Okay, we may have to try it again. He just, like I said, he travels the world, and he may have a down signal, and we'll try to get him back on, but. I was going to ask him about, you know, being a former player, what it meant to him, a guy who played for the Chiefs for a long time and played on some teams that didn't have a lot of great seasons. I mean, they had good players back when Richard played, but did not have good seasons. And so I'll ask Richard about that. And then I'm also going to ask him about, you know, pending free agency, Chris Jones. Does Patrick Mahomes get his contract extension now? Do they wait a year? Those sorts of things, the really important things. All right, we got Richard back again. Try this one more time. Richard, do we have you back?
I am okay. Here. I am above water now, so I think we'll have better signal.
Well, I was going to say, you could be anywhere in the world, and I wouldn't know where you were. And
yeah, that's life. You got to keep traveling. You got to keep experiencing and knowing what's going on around you because there is some craziness going on in the world right now.
So let me ask you this, Richard. Being a former player, played a long time at the Kansas City Chiefs but didn't get to that Super Bowl with the Chiefs. We saw a lot of reaction after the Chiefs got the win, you know, from Derek Johnson, who just retired a couple of years ago, and Tony Gonzalez and all these former players who were so happy. Was your reaction more as, because I know you're an analyst too on television, was your reaction more as an analyst, or was there a part of you as a former player that was like, gosh, it's about damn time?
I think kind of both. You know, as an analyst, you love to see it and everything that's taking place and talking about the game, but also as a former player and somebody part of the community, it's just great to see. And I think my really great feeling was that the fans here finally got something, you know, that it's been 50 years. And there's no other place in the National Football League that has fans like this. Believe me, these people have been through some tough times, and I remember being out there when it was some tough times, but they were there. They supported you from thick and thin, and no matter where you're at in town, people know you, you're a Chiefs, and congratulations, even though you weren't part of it. So it's a great community spirit, but I'm just glad for the fans of this town, Brad. I mean, you know, and I know. I mean, we did those Sunday shows, and we saw some ugliness.
Oh, yeah.
But yet those fans stayed. They were always positive. You know, they put up with national media that ridicules you a lot of times, but they were there. And that's what makes me feel great, that those people that are in that stadium, one Arrowhead Drive, no matter what the weather, no matter what the conditions, they understand that they're part of this big family. And as I said, I've been around this NFL for too many years, and you just do not see an energy level like you do in Kansas City, and just the whole community part of it. And that's what I think makes it special.
Yeah, and I also think, and maybe things have changed because of social media, and I know you're not on Twitter, Richard, and you're never going to be, and that's fine. But I think social media has also helped, in particular places like Kansas City. We saw it with the Royals in 2014 and 15. Players would interact with the fans on social media, and we see Chiefs players doing it now. And I think it gives fans even more a piece of the ownership, where you feel like you actually do know some of these guys.
No, without a doubt, and just in the parade and players interacting with fans and everything, and it's so important. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's you know, people. They live that dream to be able to play on that field of one hour drive and make a Kelce touchdown catch or a Patrick Mahomes touchdown pass. So, you know, that's what makes this game great. You know, it gives people that 3 hours a day on Sunday to just fantasize about what it would be like to be down there. And that's why people put these players on a pedestal. But yet these players are smart enough to know, you know what, I'm just like everybody else here in Kansas City, just trying to, you know, bring some good times and cheer for the people here that support them so well. And, but I mean, you go to any other team, there's some lean years that there were some empty stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
Not many times in Kansas City that stadiums have been empty, and that's what's great about this game here.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Our guest is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. All right, a lot of folks have moved on to talking about how to keep this team together or even improve it. And name number one after Patrick Mahomes, which I'll get to in a minute, name number one is Chris Jones. He's in line for a big extension. He could be franchise tagged and make a ton of money. He could be tagged and traded. I don't know what Brett Veach is thinking about right now, but what's your kind of analysis of the Chris Jones situation? Should the Chiefs work hard to keep him here, franchise him and keep him here, or tag and trade him like they did last year with a couple of guys?
That's a $64 million question, which might be Patrick Mahomes' salary.
Right.
Listen, as an analyst and as a football player, former football player, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to lose 95. He's too good. He does too many things. You know, listen, you could almost give him the MVP of that Super Bowl at the end, the plays that he made and what he did in the interior. I mean, he's one or two in this league in terms of pass rushing.
Yeah.
No question about it. And that's what the league's all about. I mean, there's not enough of them. You need it. So, I want to keep him. I know what he means to this team. I know the difference maker that he's up front. And as a former player with a guy like that, you know, he can wreak havoc because he's such a tremendous athlete. He can line up at any position, and wherever he lines up from, he's effective. And that's what makes him such a nightmare to have to block. But to the other side of it, Brad, it's all about business. You know, you look at futures and contracts and where you're going to be. And, you know, with Frank Clark coming in, what's his number? Can you justify that? You know you need depth in that defensive line. We had it this year. But, you know, you need 8-9 guys all the time just because injuries and having to rush the passer 65% of the time. So you got to put that all together, Brad, and that's why I never went to business school because I wasn't very good at those numbers. So it's time for Brett Veach to get to have his fun. We'll find out. But yeah, listen, as a fan and as a player, you don't want to lose 95. You want to do whatever you can to keep him on the field because, as I said, this guy can just wreak havoc, whether he's a defensive end, nose tackle, defensive tackle. It just doesn't matter, and he's so effective in rushing and passer. You just can't. You just don't like to lose guys like that when you know what he meant to this team.
I agree. And at the end of that Super Bowl game, he was knocking down passes like he
was
like he was Dikembe Mutombo down there or something.
Yeah, he's so quick. He's so effective. When you talk about somebody as tall as he is, his ability to use leverage, his ability to use quickness. I mean, he can line up in a Y3 technique and jump inside and beat a guard. He can do it against the tackle. He runs stunts so well. I mean, all of his fundamentals, when you watch him on film, he's a nightmare. And, you know, the guy brings it every time. I mean, he brings 100%. So, as I said, when you have guys like that and you have to account for them, what does it force the offense to do? You've got to keep a running back in. You have to chip him all the time. Or maybe you have to slide to him all the time and keep a tight end in on the backside. So it does create problems for defense. I mean, for offenses. Maybe you don't get as many people out in the routes, and, you know, the pressure that he applies, 95, is, that's why you just don't want to get him off the field. He's just the guy, when you line him up, it's like every time you play against a guy, every play, it's like, oh, my, headache again.
Right.
So, and he's just got great energy, too. You know, he's a good locker room guy. He's got great energy. He's personality, and you just need people like that as it's a long season.
What about a guy who came on at the end of the second half of the season because he got picked up late is Mike Pennell. And I still, whenever I speak with Joshua Briscoe, we still kind of scratch our heads as to why he was not in that regular season game against Tennessee. For some reason, he just didn't play for a week. But very effective, and especially with some of the injuries the Chiefs had this year, I think he's proven himself, and the Chiefs will make an effort to get him. And I really don't think he's going to be that expensive.
No, he isn't. And you talk about a guy that was a difference maker at the defensive tackle position for us. And in any defense, that if you want to have good pass rushing and you want to be able to get pressure on quarterback, those inside guys have got to create havoc. He did that. But as a run stopper, the thing I love about that guy's always on his feet. He's never on the ground, and he's able to shed blocks. And you can really say when he came into that defense, things really started to change in the middle. I mean, he is a dominating force, and you're exactly right. You know, you can't have enough of those guys. And what a pickup by the Chiefs. I don't know. I think he was up in New England or Carolina before. I scratched my head as to why this guy wasn't playing on the field for them, because what he did for the Chiefs in the middle, I mean, he is a guy that knows how to beat double teams. He learns how to slide down the line. He plays against that stretch play really well. But the main thing, he's such a good athlete, and he's always like a cat, always on his feet moving and there to make tackles. So you're exactly right. That's a guy you want to keep and hopefully find a few more in the offseason.
We're speaking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You'll also have Emmanuel Ogba, who was playing well before he got hurt. He got hurt, but he'll be a guy that you have to think about in terms of health and money. And I don't know what to think about him because he got hurt. Yeah, he was good, but he got hurt.
Yeah, he did, and that's the issue. And, you know, it's the health of the people going forward. And, you know, you try to keep these guys on the field, so you're always looking at that. But, you know, Brad, however who stays who isn't, as you can see, you've got to have 8 or 9 in that depth, rushing the passer, whether that's a linebacker that comes in and rushes the passer. Raglan actually did some good jobs rushing the passer. You just have always got to be able to focus. I think whoever you keep in that front seven has to have that ability to rush the passer, because it's about throwing now. It's a throwing game and applying pressure. And I even think San Francisco ran out of gas at the end because they really only have front five in their depth, and it cost them. They were tired at the end. They couldn't stop the big running play for the touchdown. So how would we keep this together, personnel, contract, you know, who's healthy and everything? You just always have to look at that magic number of 9 deep in your front seven, because you're going to need them with injuries and just having to rotate player. And the one guy you got to think about, too, is Passanelle. I mean, he had a great year, too. And will they keep him, or I'm not sure of his contract situation. If he's still on, I think he's still on there.
He is not on the free agent list that I have in front of me.
All right, so there's a guy that's worked well, and look how he's improved, been able to rush from the outside and the inside. It's taken him a few years, you know, in turn getting used to the speed of the game and fundamentals and technique, but this year he's really made leaps and bounds, I think, especially as we went into the playoffs, playing consistent football.
Hey, Richard, if you have time, can you hold with us through a quick break?
Sure, buddy. No problem.
I'll take a quick break. I'll come back, and I'll ask you about Mahomes, what the number is going to be, and also the collective bargaining agreement. Will the league agree to 17 games? So we'll do that coming up next. You are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Our guest coming back after the break will once again be Richard Baldinger. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A New Aesthetics and Optimal Wellness is your number one choice for overall beauty and wellness. They are Kansas City's premier aesthetics and wellness clinic, operating since 2011 under Dr. Kristen Watkins, board-certified physician. They offer a wide variety of aesthetics, body sculpting, laser treatments, functional medicine, regenerative medicine, IV therapy, and medical weight loss services. Located in North Kansas City in their new location in the River Market, are you ready for a new you?
Don't go out to eat, go out to Eat-a at Chili's. Chicken or shrimp fajitas are now on 3 for $10. So hear that chicken sizzle.
Ooh, yummy.
Or that shrimp sizzle.
They sound so similar.
People laughing and having fun. Hey, Gary, maybe take it down a notch? It's a bit much.
Sorry.
Just kidding, Gary. Live your truth. Go out to Eat-a at Chili's for 3 for $10. That's a starter, fajita, and Coke, all for $10. Together, we Chili's. At participating restaurants only. Price may vary in Hawaii.
You can buy a car or you can buy a Subaru, and there's only one place to get yours. Experience the Olathe Subaru difference.
Being a mom, I made the switch to Subaru. I know I can trust it to get my busy family anywhere we need to go safely, especially with the EyeSight technology that now comes standard in all new models. And Olathe Subaru made the buying experience amazing.
Experience the Olathe Subaru difference. OlatheSubaru.com.
You've heard us talk about CBD, and here's your chance to learn more. Tune in to Sports Radio 810 every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. or ESPN Kansas City Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. for CBD and You, presented by CBD American Shaman. You'll hear why so many people are switching to all-natural CBD. It's CBD and You, presented by CBD American Shaman. Sundays on Sports Radio 810 from 7 to 8 a.m. and Wednesdays on ESPN Kansas City from 3 to 4 p.m.
Right now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Add style and comfort with Laguna Hills Carpet from Shaw Floors. Right now, save with 11% off all carpet. Plus, get free carpet pad after mail-in rebate. Stop waiting and start saving with all of your home improvement needs right now at Menards. Prices good until February 29th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Every weekday on Sports Radio 810, tune in to hear Kansas City's favorite local lineup. At 6 a.m., wake up with the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. At 10, it's The Zone with Jason Anderson. Now at 2, get into the program with Soren Petro. And wrap up your day on Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Who is this, Blake?
This would be Big Pun featuring Joe.
Okay. That's a new one for me. I like
it. Miami flavor.
Back on Sports Sunday, my name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Richard Baldinger continues as our guest, former Chiefs offensive lineman. Real quick, Richard, before I get back to the Chiefs, and we got to let you go here soon. They've been running nonstop stories on ESPN all weekend with guys from the 1980 men's U.S. Olympic hockey team talking about the historic win over the Soviets. It was 40 years ago this weekend. What were you doing in 1980 when the U.S. men knocked off the Soviets?
Yeah, I was down in college. I remember sitting down there watching it in the old TV room that they had for the football dorm. Had the big old projection TV. I don't want to say more, Brad. I'm dating myself already with that projection TV. So, I'll never forget that moment. Something special that you, even today, when you just see it, you're sitting watching anything on a YouTube video and that pops on or something, it still raises the hair on the back of your neck. And, you know, to beat the old Ruskies the way we did, that was something special, and I'll never forget.
Well, thankfully, one of the members of that team, Kenny Morrow, lives here in Kansas City, and he helps build programs to get more places for kids to get ice time, and he travels around the country, and he was in Vegas yesterday for the reunion for the 40th anniversary, and he's a super good dude, so we're lucky to have him in our community here in Kansas City.
Yeah, great guy. He was a New York Islander. Of course, I was a Ranger fan. So hopefully we don't have them all at the same time. Right now we might have a brawl in the blue. Right.
And Kenny won 4 Stanley Cups with the Islanders.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He was a heck of a player, man. He talked about a guy that could cover the puck quickly and everything. And those Islander teams, I have to suffer through that, Brad, going up on Long Island High School. You don't understand that stuff. We'll leave that for another show.
Okay. We'll get back to Chiefs football in the little time we have left. Do you have a ballpark number of what you're thinking about in terms of Patrick Mahomes? Because they don't have to extend him this offseason. They can pick up the option, part of the rookie contract, and then they can eventually get into franchise tagging a couple of times if they want to do that. But if they were to work out a deal during this offseason, what number are you looking at? Because I'm looking at other quarterbacks making 30 to 35 per year, and I'm thinking Mahomes goes right past that to 40.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he zooms all the way up to 50 because here's a kid in his third. Well, you think about it, in his third, the only other quarterback that has done the numbers that he did in that time, and he got to the Bowl but lost, was Dan Marino.
Uh-huh.
So here's a kid, an MVP, NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winner. How does he not go to that level? And again, you know, put that aside. What does his leadership mean on the field? Everybody always talks about even like his ability to throw the football, but how about his ability to scramble and keep, do other things too on the field? This guy's a complete player. He's a leader. He's a difference maker. And, that Super Bowl is just everything about him. I mean, literally, we had that boxing analogy earlier. I don't know if you'd want to get in a fist fight with that guy because he might find a way to knock you out afterwards. So that's the type of athlete he is. That's the type of leader he is and what he means to this team. And, that's why I think you go to 50 with him because he has now pushed the bar to a level that's going to be demands on quarterbacks now. It's going to be off the charts. And going forward, what you see, what you expect of him, this guy just offers so many things from athleticism, ability to lead on the field, throwing the football. There's not a weakness in the game. That's why I think 50 is the magic number for him.
There's also other news outside of the Chiefs but involves the Chiefs, and that is the collective bargaining agreement. And I know it's not the sexiest thing to talk about, but the owners – kind of leaked it out this week. Here's the new proposal, 17-game regular season. And it was really, to me, it was a little bit dishonest to leak it that way because the players hadn't even looked at it yet. But just on the surface, and we probably won't have time to get into the details, on the surface, would you be in favor of getting to the 17 games if the money worked out that way, or do you think it's just too much?
No, because I think what is happening is the limitations on the camp that's going to take place. I don't think we're going to be – are they not going to 2 preseason games if this collective bargaining agreement goes through, the new one? I think that's part of it. I might be wrong if I am.
I think they talked about going to 3 preseason games, which is still too many.
It's still too many, but let's put it this way, buddy. We used to go through 3 weeks of two-a-day practices with Marty Schottenheimer. So – I think I understand the players have the 17th game, but you have to understand that we're in a different world right now. These TV ratings and what's happened in the last couple of years with some of the politics and the viewing being down, now back up again. I don't know if you want to go past this year. I think you want to get as much content in the can so when these owners go negotiate with the networks, they're going to get the numbers that they want because these players want to keep growing the pie. So you and I know once you don't want to get out of the collective bargain. That's why I think the 17th player, I understand the injuries. I understand all that. But if it reduces what you do in camp, is it really that much more? That's the way I look at it in terms of the physicality of what it can do for you, to your body and everything. So I think for the players, for the future, what it means, and of course for us retired players and everything, I would think you'd want to get this done as soon as possible.
Yes, and I think they have talked about carving out an extra piece of the pie for the veterans who back in your day didn't get a gosh darn thing after the game was over. I hope it gets done because I don't want to see 1987 all over again, because I remember the documentary on the Washington team that won the Super Bowl. The 3 games that were played by the Scabs, those guys didn't get rings until recently. But in that documentary, I saw you out on the picket lines mixing it up with some folks out there, you and Dino Hackett and Billy Bob Moss. And I don't want to see that again.
No, you don't want to get into that. And I don't think that. And listen, I remember years, you know, it wasn't until 1992 when a lot of us gave up our football card money, which was worth about $10,000 back then, to give to the lawyers to finally get the initial first collective bargaining agreement. That's when initially the first one, and it took off from there. It's propelled itself, and that's why the NFL is where it's at right now with free agency and what it's meant to his team, to the value and everything. So the players don't want to go back. They don't want to go on strike. You don't want to get in that mode. But I just think now, Brad, we're different in terms of the way people view games. You don't sit around the TV as much. You watch it on different platforms. So is the advertising dollars there. And I just think that the owners are smart about this. They want to get as much of content as possible so those magic numbers keep growing, because, you know, and I know, you don't want to go in the other direction.
No.
So, and there's too many good things in this, DB. I looked at it, and I fell off my chair because we were lucky if we got clean towels.
Right.
So, for the players, it, for what it means. But, hey, you know, guys, for us, like retirements and everything and what it is, that's our future. You know, that's what we can take out of this right now. These guys now, with the millions they're making, maybe they don't really need to worry so much about their retirement because they're getting it all at one time.
Hey, Richard, I appreciate you getting up with us on a Sunday and talking a little Chiefs football and a little boxing and a little hockey. We covered everything.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right, thank you. You too, Richard. That is my friend Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman. Worked with him in television for 20 years doing Chiefs postgame shows. And always like talking to Baldy. He's always got an interesting take. So I have gone clear past a break one more time. It's just that kind of Sunday. That's all right. We got a lot to cover. So we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, our third and final hour here, as you are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.